Good morning.
It is certainly a privilege and a blessing to be able to come to stand before God's people in God's house on the Lord's Day and be sure to thank God for His grace and His mercy which He has extended towards us even this past week. He woke us up this morning and He didn't have to. He kept us in our right mind, gave us traveling mercies, and blessed us with many blessings above and beyond what we even ask for, or if we're really honest, we even deserve. We thank God for each and every one of you who are here today. It sounded this morning like you wanted to sing. And God expects for two things to happen when His people come together. The first thing He expects to hear from His people in the singing and the praying. And secondly, He expects for His people to hear from Him in the preaching of His word. And that is my assignment today. We want to welcome each and every one of you to the Church of Christ, which meets in Leicester, where, as we often say, it's a church where everybody is somebody and God is everything. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the 101st time, we welcome you. We extend our warm Christian welcome to you, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And as we often say, and mean it, that if you have a Bible question, we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. On judgment day, God will judge us based upon what thus saith the Lord, and as I often say, we ought to get book, chapter, and verse. I invite your kind attention to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 and meet me at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16 and meet me at verse number 13. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It is here that our Bibles read and teach. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered in verse 17 and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Church and dear friends, each of us on our way to this building has passed many places of worship. Many places call themselves the church, and in our day-to-day lives we pass and have passed places of worship. And Jesus said in our text, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And so the question today is, what is the church that Jesus built? Is every church that we see and read about in our world the church that Jesus built? It's like the old McDonald's farm. Here a church, there a church, everywhere a church, church. But is it the church that we read about in our Bibles? I want you to know, dear friends, that we don't have to water down God's word. We don't have to sugarcoat God's word. We need to let people know that there is only one church that we read about in our Bible. And we want to know what is the church that Jesus built. And in a world of religious plurality, it can be very hard to identify what is true and what is not true. And I want to suggest to you that every church is not the church that Jesus proclaimed in His scripture, in the Word of God that He purposed to build, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And many claims are made, and many teachings vary from person to person and church to church, unfortunately. But what is the church that Jesus built? I want to suggest to you, first of all, there's that word suggest. I want you to understand and see in Scripture that the church is called, a called out people. Our first point, the church that Jesus built is a about people. In the original text, or language of our New Testament, it was written in what we call Koine Greek. And the word church in the Greek is ekklesia, ekklesia. And this word is a compound word. The first part, the ek, or the ek, it means out of. Ek is out of, and the klesia, K-L-E-S-I-S, is a calling. And the words together mean a called out body. It is a group of people called out to an assembly. And it was originally used to define a called out mom. In Acts chapter 19, and about verse number 29, you read, in the city of Ephesus, there was a mom that had gathered. And so these people were called out of one realm into the realm that belongs to Christ. And so the word over time has evolved, this word ekklesia, into the word in the New Testament that is translated church. It means the people. It is not the building made with hands, as we read about in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 22. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 22. It is here that the Bible says, and I'll give you a chance to turn to that, in Acts chapter 11, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only." Verse 20 says, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." And verse 22 says, "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch." And so I want to suggest to you that this church, church buildings don't have ears. Church buildings don't have ears. And verse 22 says, "The news of these things came to the ears of the church." And so they built, see a building with a steeple and a cross and say, "There's a church." No, that's not true. However, this is not the church. A building made of bricks, mortar, wood, and nails. And so the building itself is not the church. It is just a meeting place for the church. The sign up front says the Church of Christ. It means the called out people of Christ meet here. And so the church is also spoken about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Peter says, "You are," and he speaks with a definite. He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so here Peter says, you are an elect race. The church is a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, people who have been called out of darkness from one realm into his marvelous light. He's not talking about the building. He's talking about the people. And so, church, but how does God call? Somebody wants to know, how does God call man today? He doesn't call us in dreams, in visions. You know, folks say, "Well, God told me." No, God hasn't told you anything. God hasn't told you anything. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 tells us, how does God call man today? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." And here it is in verse 14, "To which you are called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for this is the power of God unto salvation, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How are we called? by the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. We need good news, church. And the good news is that God's church, the church that Jesus purposed to build in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, is a call of people. And he calls us by and through the gospel, the good news. He does not call us by dreams and visions or heartfelt feelings or some existential expression. So God calls us by an intelligent presentation of a gospel story, by preaching and teaching words that educate about the facts of sin and salvation. Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and this is written to the church again. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Some of the most beautiful words in Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul to the church in Rome asks these questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? That's a great commission. That's a great commission. That's our job, church, to call those by and through the gospel to need to be saved even today. And then he says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Did you know that preachers have beautiful feet? Preachers have beautiful feet, according to these verses, who bring glad tidings of good things. And verse 17 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, of who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's our job, to call people, to let them know that Jesus is still in the saving business. And so who God calls is the church. So the first people that God called were in Acts chapter 2, as Brother Luke said here during the Lord's Supper in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. This same Peter that Jesus spoke to in Matthew chapter 16 and said, upon this rock, I will build my church in the gates of hell. This same Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And notice what he says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, when he preached that gospel sermon. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And verse number 39, notice if you will, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God, what? Will call. How will he call us? He'll call us by and through the gospel message. And how will they hear the gospel message? You need a preacher. You need somebody that's going to preach, chapter, and verse. That same Peter was preaching the gospel story so that people would believe in Christ. That was God's calling through the word. The same word that tells people about Jesus and tells people how to be saved. When they obey, they have answered God's call and they become the called out. Then saved people become the word church, of what the word church means, the called out people of God. You and I, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, are the called out people of God. Secondly, the church is saved people. The church is saved people. You know, we better be careful who we're calling brother and sister today. Because we're not all brothers and sisters, amen. Because we need to understand that you need to do something in order to be saved. And what did you do in order to be saved? That's a question that's on the floor. If somebody comes and says to you that I'm a Christian, everybody says I'm a Christian. And Brother Duton had a message last week, praise God. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has obeyed the gospel. Not a gospel, but the gospel, and is added to the church and not a church. Because every church is not the church. And that's not just me saying it, that's what the Bible says. And we're going to prove that through Scripture. See, we ought to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things by Bible ways. And so the church is the saved. In Acts chapter 2, again, in verse number 47. Acts chapter 2, And verse 47, Peter says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Notice what it's saying. It's not a church. The church. If I say to you, this is the place, so you're going to say, which one? Is it? It's either here or there. It can't be both. The Lord added to the church. So what exactly did Jesus build? This same Peter preached the gospel, and they believed, and they said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do in order to be saved? That was the question. And so 3,000 souls believed and were baptized, but why were they baptized? That's the question. They were baptized for the forgiveness and remission of sins, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Notice, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. And that's the same message that they preached over 2,000 years ago, and it's the same message that we need to preach today. They said to Peter, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is through baptism. It's not a sprinkling, it's not a pouring, it's not a suggestion, it is a command of God. And they were saved according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those, or the King James says, such as were being saved. The Bible says they were added to the church, not that they joined the church. You can't join the church. Did you know that? What's that about? You see on TV that you hear these preachers saying, go to the church of your choice. But if there's only one church, amen. The Lord, the Bible says, added to the church such as should be saved. And so Jesus built this church by calling people with the preaching of the gospel. People heard the gospel and responded by obeying the terms of the new covenant. And when they obeyed, the Lord added them to the church. And so the church is therefore everyone who has been saved by obeying the gospel. Mark 16, 15 and 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Someone say, well, what if you don't believe? Well, you're not saved. We can all believe a whole lot of things, but you've got to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Number three, the third point, the church that Jesus built, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. What do you mean by that? In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 22, the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus says, and he, which is Christ, put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This says that Jesus is the head of the church, not the Pope, not Mother Teresa, not Allah, not Buddha. Jesus is the head of the church. And some man has enough nerve to even put on a church building, the founder. You see that folks say the founder, Dr. Reverend, Dr. So and so. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, and there is no vacancy for the head of the church, and there will never be a vacancy for the head of the church. The Anglican church, the king or the sovereign is the head of the church. No, Jesus is the head of the church, and it says the church, which is his body. And so another designation of the relationship, the church is the body of Christ, and the body is the church. The church is the body, and the body is the church. And both Jews and Gentiles were reconciled to God into that one church. You remember in Ephesians chapter 2, and we continue on. Ephesians said, it says, listen, Ephesians 2 verses 11 through 16. Therefore, remember that you, he says that you, once Gentiles of the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called circumcision made by flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Anyone, what is Paul saying? Anyone that wasn't a Jew. Anyone that was not a Jew, that's you and me, before Jesus went to the cross, had no hope of salvation. God had a people in the beginning. He drew a line around a people called the Jews. And they were the ones whom the covenant was made. And anybody outside of that covenant was lost. But he said, but God purposed before the foundation of the world to save both Jew and Gentile. And so Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, which was a sign of the covenant for the Jews, by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ. That's the first strike, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's the second strike. And strangers, that's the third strike, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was your former condition. But he says in verse 11, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. What's that amazing grace? I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for Jesus. So church, listen. He brought us into his church. And so we say the church is the body. But what is the body? It is the church, the called of people, people saved by Jesus Christ. And so he has reconciled us. Not reconciliation. There was a time many years ago when I first started my career in banking. I'm going to give away my age. I went to work for the bank in 1990. And there was a time when you had a checking account or a current account. At the back of your bank statement, they used to give a reconciliation chart in the back so you could balance your checkbook. I know young folks don't know about their checkbook. And now it's a debit card and tap and go and all this stuff. But before that, you had to reconcile. Debits had to equal credits. And so he said, listen, Jesus has reconciled us because you were out of balance. Your sin, you had so much sin, and Jesus came in and took that sin to reconcile, to bring balance with God. He reconciled us into one body. And that makes the church the body of the reconciled. The church, the body of Christ, is therefore everyone who is saved. And everyone who is saved is reconciled to God. So the question is, can a man be saved outside of the body of Christ? I had a conversation recently with a brother. And he said to me, in not so many words, that he believes that there are saved people in denominations. And I said, well, how can that be? According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, says, praising God in heaven, favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And so when you're saved, you're added. And so how can you be saved and added in the wrong place? Good people, honest people, sincere people, but the lost. You don't believe that? You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts? He was riding along, and then the Lord sent Philip to him, and he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said to him, how can I unless some man guides me? What did the Ethiopian eunuch have? He had the word of God. He was sincere, he was religious, but he was lost. That's like you and me. How many of us, if we did a poll right now and ask, how many of us have come out of denominationalism? And you thought you were on your way to heaven, sincere, honest, praising God, loving God, until you found the truth. come. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because all of us are ignorant on certain subjects. But then when truth shows up, that's where Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17 through 17 come in. How shall they hear unless they are sent? That's our assignment. And that is why it's our assignment for this year, 2026, is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We are to go out and find our neighbors, our co-workers, our enemies, our friends, and tell them that Jesus is still in the saving business. That's not my opinion. That is what the book says. And we have to be honest enough with people to say, listen, I know that you are very sincere. I know that you're very honest. I know that you love Jesus. But let's see what the book says. Is that all right? And so, church, can a man be saved outside of the church, outside of the body? Can a man be saved without being reconciled? The answer is a resounding no. Therefore, that will result, is what resulted when Christ built his church. What is the church that Jesus built? It is every person who has been saved from sin. Every person who has responded to the gospel call and has come out of the world, out of sin, out of spiritual death, into Christ, into his body, and also have been called out of the world, out of darkness. It means to be conveyed from one realm to the other. Church, that's our assignment. Every single day, as we go into our world, according to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as you are going, tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. And listen, you remember that expression, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Sometimes we can be saying much more by the way we conduct ourselves than our speech itself. And so, church, I want to suggest and say to you today that the church is a called out people. Secondly, the church is a saved people. And thirdly, the church is the body of Christ. If you're here today and you're not a member of that church that Jesus built, my question is, why not become a member of the church that you read about in your Bible? The last scripture I'll leave you with is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 1. This is Paul's plea to the church in Ephesus. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm begging you, to walk worthy of, here's that word, of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he says there's 7:1. There is one body. And we know that the body is the church and the church is the body. And he says, one Spirit, just as you recall, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was above all who is above all and through all and in you all. Jesus is only looking for one. God is only looking for one. We serve a narrow-minded God. Amen. Salvation is only in one place. It is in the church. And it's a church that you read about in your Bible if you want to know more. If you want to be in that church, you've got to do five simple things. First of all, you must hear the word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I give you book, chapter, and verse today. You must believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. You must repent of your sins. That's Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you now, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What does repentance mean? Repent means to change your mind with a view to changing your actions. Repentance takes place from the neck up. I'm going to stop doing wrong and I'm going to start doing right. I'm going to stop walking with the devil and I'm going to start walking with Jesus. And as I've often said, every car you buy today has the R is for repent. Did you know that? That R on that, that's for repent. Because sometimes we go further than we should. Amen. I'm looking for a spot and I've driven past it. I've got to repent, put it in reverse, and go back and make it right. Amen. All of us have repented. You must confess Jesus as Lord. That confession is simply that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, for the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And number 5, we complete our obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and many other passages of Scripture. And then the Lord asks us to remain faithful until death, Revelation 2, 10. If you do those 5 things, the Lord will add you to the church. The church that you read about in your Bible. And then he give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've got some help now. You've got to help. And you've got to start that Christian walk and stay on the straight and narrow path. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing those 5 simple things. And church, if you are a Christian, you need prayer. It's praying time. We're living in the last days. There's troublesome times ahead. Filling man's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. What can you do? You can come. We can pray for you and pray with you. The Bible says, confess your sins. The book of James. Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. If you stand in need of the Lord's invitation, either of these 2 ways, as we stand and sing for the invitational.